All right, here we go. 6:14. Gonna be nice today. A little less humidity than normal, and highs around 90 degrees or so. Tropics are quiet for the next 7 to 10 days. So let's thank the good Lord for that. Todd Belt joins us, professor, director of the political management program at George Washington University, to talk about mail-in voting. How you doing, Todd?
Good morning, Tommy. It's great to be with you again. I'm doing well. How are you?
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate you coming on. Tell me what this most recent poll says as it relates to mail-in balloting.
Right. This poll by the Pew Research Center isn't incredibly surprising. There are a lot of things that people really like about mail-in balloting and some things they don't. And if you think about how people cast and then count the vote, how people pick up the ballots and return them, there's a number of different ways different states can do that. And that's where we see some of the changes between what people appreciate and what they don't. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that we had COVID in 2020, and a lot of people were forced to vote by mail or had an option to vote by mail when their state hadn't provided it before. And one of the things we know about mail-in voting is that when people do it, they tend to like it and they like to continue it. And with new technologies, you can trace your vote. You can find out where it is in the process and the cycle. But then you have Donald Trump, who has tried to tell people not to use mail-in balloting. He did that in 2016. In 2020, he changed his tune and he said, bank your vote. He said, make sure you get your ballot in.
Wait, early. You're not telling me. And, you're not telling me it was pragmatic. It was whatever suits him best. Is that what you're telling me? Or any political candidate? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it seems like it. And then now he's got this vendetta against mail-in balloting, and it comes after his summit meeting with Vladimir Putin, who told him that a lot of the voting in the United States was tainted with mail-in balloting, and so he's gone full force against it since that meeting. But
well, if there's anybody you can trust when it comes to American voting, it's Putin. Am I right? I mean, just think about how ridiculous. I don't mean to get anybody angry here, but just think about how ridiculous that is. This guy's what, the president of Russia, been in KGB 50 years, and you're going to listen to what he tells you about American voting and not think that he has an agenda of his own, that he's trying to help you? Really?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It shows you just how strong motivated reasoning is. If you want to believe a certain thing, you're willing to take rather unusual sources to validate your opinion.
So here's my thing. It's like you got to trust something. And there has always been cheating in elections. There will always be cheating in elections. The best you can do is minimize it. You're never going to get it to go all away. And if you want to have all paper ballots, you can do that. But then again, you can stuff the ballot box. That's old school. If you want to have all electronic voting, you can do that. You can, I guess, hack the system and manipulate the numbers. You can do that. If you want to have both, well, then you can stuff the ballot box and manipulate the numbers electronically. I don't know, Professor. Is there any foolproof way?
Well, you can't really stuff the ballot box. I mean, that's one of the things. A lot of the states have restrictions on this. Almost every single state has a restriction or has what's called the paper ballot backup. So if there's anything done with the electronic machines, there's only a couple of counties and a couple of states. And by the way, Louisiana is one of them, where there is no paper ballot backup to be counted from the electronic counter. And when it comes to casting them, the restrictions on being, you know, there are heavy penalties for voter fraud. It is a felony. And of course, you have to sign your name when you return your ballot, and it is matched to the signature on file if that's by mail, and you have to sign when you go into a polling place. And we have seen that, you know, in this poll, we find people are very receptive to even more restrictions on, or at least, you know, ways of making sure people are able to vote legally, particularly the ID law, voter ID. People are very supportive of that. That has been something Republicans have really supported, and the public is behind them on that one. So showing your state-issued ID when you turn in your ballot is something I think that we're going to see a lot more of. The other problem in terms of you were talking about stuffing the ballot is what's called vote harvesting. And this is when a third party goes around and collects ballots. For example, a person who might work for a campaign might go collect ballots from people at a senior citizen's home and then bring them for them to the box where it needs to be submitted. And in one election in 2018, we had some malfeasance with this. It wasn't the candidate, but it was one of the consultants for the candidate, and four of the people that worked for him were going around and trying to collect ballots that they were not allowed to do so, and they caught them. But in reality, cheating in U.S. elections is incredibly rare, and it's incredibly difficult to find an election where it has made a difference in the outcome.
I'm no Todd Belt, but it seems as though if you were to arrest the people and have stiff penalties for vote harvesting, that's the way to make mm-hmm. it go away, not end mail balloting. Yes?
It certainly is. And in fact, since that time, most of the states, there's only a handful of states that still allow some form of some form of vote harvesting. I mean, it's different depending on who you allow to do it. It could be a family member or something like that. Different states have different rules. And that's one of the complicated things about our voting system is our Constitution gives the right to the states to determine their system as they see as it's best for their population. But in this poll, we saw that most people are opposed to any states doing vote harvesting. I anticipate in the coming years, we're going to see more laws against vote harvesting. But like I said, there's still only a handful of states that allow that.
That to me seems the way to answer it. Not drop mail-in balloting, but if you vote harvest, guess what? We catch you, you're going to jail for 25 years. No parole, no nothing.
I mean, if you make the penalties, you make the penalties stiff. And, you know, if, like I said, it's usually not the case.
That would make somebody I think that would make somebody think twice, mm-hmm. Todd, don't you?
Yeah.
How bad do you want your candidate to win? Do you want to spend 25 years in a federal pen? No, I don't think so. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Todd Belt, our guest, professor and director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. A lot of people would be disenfranchised without mail-in voting, including folks that are serving in the military, out of state, et cetera, out of the country, et cetera, or even out of state. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, having an interesting conversation with Todd Belt, professor and director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University, about a new poll that Americans responded to about voting and mail-in voting, etc. Professor, here in Louisiana, I think we have to show a driver's license when we vote. I believe I do, yeah. And somebody texted and said they're all for that. I am, too. I don't see any problem with that. Are there states that do not require that?
Yes, there are states that don't require that. And in this poll, this was one of the most popular of the measures. 83% of people approve of that. There has been some arguments that it's difficult for some people of lower means to be able to get a voter ID, some older people who don't have them. But for the most part, you know, if you need one to go to the bank, you need to have an ID. So it's not a huge barrier to voting.
You know, somebody texted in, and this is not a bad point. I'm railing against ballot harvesting, but I guess there are people. Well, if there are people in nursing homes, rather than people right. taking their ballots and dropping them off, couldn't they be mailed in, and then you don't have the risk of ballot harvesting? Or even at that point, you don't know who's filling in the ballots for mm-hmm. people at nursing homes. And beyond that, somebody texted in, is it a lot different than, you know, back in the old days? It's been going on forever in America. Where you load a bus full of people up, you give them lunch, and tell them to vote for this one, right? In a way, I mean, that's ballot harvesting with lunch, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is technically illegal to offer any sort of incentives for voting, although it's not often prosecuted by the Federal Election Commission, unfortunately. But one of the issues with ballot harvesting that a lot of the activists who do it would argue, and I don't necessarily agree with them, is that when you go to these places, say it's a nursing home, there's a lot of people who would have forgotten to vote, don't realize it's time to vote, or don't have their materials immediately with them. And then, you know, someone can help them make sure they get the materials, then come by and make sure they have the time to do it, and then take care of the process that way. So that's sort of the argument that they make.
But where do you draw the line? Because, again, I'll do respect to everybody in nursing mm-hmm. homes. I'm not trying to mean anybody at mm-hmm. all. There are a lot of active senior citizens that are fully capable and so forth. But even then, how would you enforce that somebody, an orderly or an aide or a doctor, even as a nurse, is not taking a ballot and filling it mm-hmm. in like they want?
Right. There is the only way to really do this is to control where you can turn it in. And, you know, a lot of places have drop boxes and they want to make sure people aren't bringing in more than one ballot at the drop box. That's a way to enforce that or to get rid of the drop boxes altogether, which, of course, would make it much more difficult for other people, meaning that you would have to turn it over to a state official directly. And again, you know, that makes it more difficult for other people. But of course, you can always drop it in the mail, although people have gotten away from using the United States Postal Service in recent years, as we do everything electronically these days.
There are no simple solutions to complex problems. Real quick, Professor, you're in Washington. Mm-hmm. What's the feel there, the vibe with the National Guard all over?
You know, the National Guard has been placed in certain areas around the city, and it's not in other areas around the city. But, you know, there are certain areas like Georgetown, which is not known for being a hotbed of violence or homelessness, where there are a lot of National Guard people there. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this is a lot of window dressing and a lot of photo ops. I don't know exactly that they've been doing a lot. I haven't seen a big change to where I go to, but, you know, I don't know what's going on in the rest.
I was in Washington in January, walked around for like 6-7 hours from Georgetown to the Capitol, to the Lincoln Memorial, Ellipsis, White House, and back to Georgetown. I never felt unsafe at all. The only thing I can tell you is Pennsylvania Avenue is not straight. There's one point where it, I don't know what happens there. Professor, do you know?
Yeah, well, we've got the White House there, you know, and you can't go through that. And then, of course, there's a couple of...
I think it's going down straight, but then it goes into another street, which is fine until you've been walking for 7 hours. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Todd Bell, Professor, Director of the Public Management Program at George Washington University. We'll come back, talk about this Cracker Barrel dust-up. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.